there's kids here, isn't there? Some of the kids are around the corner on my right, and others are still hanging out here. I love to see them. Is my granddaughter here, my four-month-old Leah Vina? Is she among us yet? I think they're coming. Leah probably made them late, my son Aaron and Amy. So she'll be coming, and she's just a little bitty thing. She's getting chunkier as she eats more, of course, thriving, which we're so grateful for. But if you can just see the little ones here around you, maybe there's one or two of them that are hanging out. Jesus had one of those little ones. Actually, the word is infant, which is expressed in the Bible for both those pre-born as well as those born. For example, the word that's used here when it says that they brought babies or infants to Jesus is the same word that was used for talking about John the Baptist in the womb of his mother. The same word for the pre-born or the just-born or the early just-born, the babies or infants, we would say. And so they were actually bringing Jesus, these little infants, in their arms, the mothers, perhaps the fathers and families, wanting for Rabbi Jesus to touch their child, to touch that baby, and then to bless the baby, like the rabbis would in that day, the teachers of the day who were bringing God's word to the people. This would be a common thing. We would do that and call it a baby dedication, perhaps. And we bless those children and dedicate them. There's one right here. This is what this is all about. This, isn't it awesome? The little children. And if you have them, or if you have those little grandchildren, you know how it touches your heart. Here's what I want to tell you today. It touches our God's heart, too. It touches Jesus' heart. He wants those children to come to him. He does not want them hindered. In fact, he says it very clearly. Let me just say it again. By the way, you have hopefully contained in your little packet today the scripture here that you can open up and look along with me if you'd like. As people were bringing the babies to him to place his hands on them, the disciples rebuked them. And why did they do that, we might ask? Why did they rebuke the little kids? Well, Jesus was on a mission. We looked at this last week. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, it states clearly that Jesus set his face. He resolutely, he determined, we said, to get to Jerusalem where he would accomplish or fulfill his mission, which ultimately would be to die for the sins of the world on a cross, a cruel Roman crucifixion he would undergo to take the place of all the sin and to pay that penalty for all the sin of the whole world. That is every human that has ever lived from now till time ends, which includes ours. That Jesus had to accomplish that mission. That's what he is sent to do. The Son of Man, Jesus said, came to seek and to save the lost. The lost are those who are lost in their sin, who are not reconciled yet with God the Father. They needed an offering, a sin sacrifice to free them from their own sin, to free us. So this is what Jesus was about to accomplish. And he was headed for Jerusalem. He was on his, we believe, like his last 6 months of journeying. And he was intentionally about itinerant preaching, bringing the word of repentance to people that they might turn to God. And want a word of repentance and speaking about this kingdom thing. This kingdom of God, this reign of God, which is a beautiful thing as we learn more and more about that, what Jesus intends for us to live inside of, the very reign of God, under his authority. That's the intention of God. That's what Jesus is headed out to do, and this is an important mission, isn't it? Somebody say amen. Amen. It's a very important mission. Let's not let some kids get in the way. We might have been like some of those discipler handlers of Jesus at the time. Yeah. Don't let, you know, come on, we're an important mission. Jesus says, no. Don't hinder those kids from coming to me. He calls them to himself. The little ones, like we had a couple around here, as well as bring those babies to me. Bring them to me. Jesus has time for you and me. doesn't he? He has time for the little ones. He has time for every single soul. Don't think that Jesus doesn't have time for you, that you're an interruption to his busy schedule, to the important things of saving the whole world. He has time for each one of us. You serve, I serve a personal God, a God that cares about our individual soul. He cares about you individually. He knows your name, and he knows the number of hairs on your head right now. A little easier for some of you, I understand, right? He knows the number of them. That's what the Bible says. That's what God tries to indicate to us through Jesus. The greatest revelation of God on the planet is Jesus Christ. Jesus was God in the flesh, God living among us, dealing with things as we do. And so Jesus wants him. I'd like to say Jesus would be front and center at an event like this, and he would always say, bring the kids, bring the kids. That's what he's shouting out to everybody. No, let the kids come to me. Don't hinder those. Bring them, bring the kids. Don't we want to be like that? Bring the kids. Jesus wants the kids to come to him. Don't hinder them. In fact, I would say, yes, we would want to do the other. Help kids come to Jesus. What can we do to help kids learn about God? Learn about the one who is the creator of all. How can we do that? And that's a question we try to ask and answer. You know, as a church, you've been part of what's going on here. That's what we're trying to do, is ask and answer that, figure out how do we reach out. So we have things like Family Fun Fest, Family Harvest Party. We are part of a children's festival in March in Vancouver at the Vancouver Mall. Something like this, Splash in the Park, and we send out and try to invite the kids. Of course, we've got to invite the families that have the kids, but that's the idea. Because Jesus says, bring the kids. Bring the kids to me. Let the kids come to me. Don't hinder them. Don't think that what you're doing is so important that you exclude kids. No. I want the kids to come to me. I want to touch them. I want to hold them. I want to bless them. I want to connect with them. I want to, be engaged with the little children of the world. And so Jesus is this approachable kind of man, very open and receptive and responsive. And he does this, bring the kids to me. Don't let there be a gap between me and them, the Message Bible says. It's a very clear lesson. If you're a follower of Jesus, you should not ever hinder kids from coming to Jesus. And I would just suggest that we would want to do the opposite. We'd want to encourage kids to go to Jesus. We want to let them come to Jesus. We want to help them to come to Jesus. How can we help kids come to Jesus? We have this wonderful programming going on every Sunday at the branch over here at the school that has children being taught, being connected to by caring adults. Thank you if you are part of the team that reaches out and helps our kids come to know Jesus. I want to thank you again. If you're serving God in that way, it's close to God's heart. So thank you for that. That's something we're doing to try to help kids to come to know Jesus. We have camps and youth groups for the ones that are little older kids that can go to those. What a wonderful thing to be able to. Some of you have invested in helping some of those students get to camp just a week or so ago. And that camp, there were 13 students that committed their life to Christ and were baptized there. Yeah. In our number, there's a student that's looking at committing their life and being baptized in the near future. And we're working with the parents and her at this time. But other students that were there that went because we helped some of them get there, because we're not going to let a little money hinder us from kids getting to know Jesus, right? And so it's so important, but there's been some life transformation that's occurred because there's been an intense time of learning, of connecting to God, getting rid of distractions at a camp, and focusing. This is so, so vital and valuable to young people. So God bless you as you send your students to do things like that are supplied
Those are helps that we have to look forward to. So bring the kids, Jesus says. Help them. This might be needed later. I hope that works. Great. So help them get there. We have baby dedications on occasion, usually around Mother's Day. We try to do some baby dedications. This is the idea of supporting parents and helping their kids come to know Jesus. So we don't do baby baptisms. Children, we believe, are safe. They need to be taught about the reality of God, of human sin, of judgment, or their accountability to that sin. See if I can make that not blow away again. Okay, there we go. All right. Yeah, so we teach kids as they reach the age of accountability that they're responsible to God ultimately. They're accountable just like us adults. They turn into adulthood. Then they make their own personal decision to trust in Jesus Christ, to identify with Jesus as Savior through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for their lives as they go through a new birth in a death, burial, and resurrection experience in Christian baptism underwater. And then they move on and they, you know, imperfectly, but they try to live a godly life just like the rest of us. This is what we do to help kids understand the reality of the God who created all this, the God who loves us more than anyone else on the planet. This God who gave his life for us does. And this God has a purpose for our lives. He has a design, a desire for each soul. And it gifts us in order to accomplish those purposes. What an amazing God we serve and get to help children in our own congregation, children that we can reach through big events like a family fun fest, and help them to come to know Jesus through a local church like The Branch. Here's why this is so important, and you'll find this on your notes there. Renowned, pollster George Barna, you may have heard of him. He's studied and written extensively on the relationship of children to the gospel and discovered some sobering facts. And I think I've given them to you there on your handout. He wrote a book called Transforming Children into Spiritual Champions. It's a real easy read, but it's an awakening. It was for me when I started to realize how important childhood is in the understanding and gaining the truth about God in our lives. So I have a couple extras of these, by the way, and be happy to loan them out to anybody here that would like to take one home and just deal. Maybe God's talking to you about, let me look into that. I've got a heart for kids, and let me see more closely some of the facts. Here's a couple of them. Out of 100 Americans, only 42 will make any kind of commitment to Jesus in their lifetime. Now, these are stats that he's, through polling and data seeking scientifically, has found. Only 42, average of 42, will make any kind of a commitment to Jesus in their lifetime. 32 of those 42 will make their decision prior to the age of 12. Okay, grasp that. Out of the 42, 32 of the 42 makes that decision for Jesus prior to the age of 12. Or we could say about one-third, 32, 33, of all people make a decision for God, for Jesus, in their young years, below age 13, before they turn teen. Only 4, it goes on to say, will commit to Christ in their teen years. That's 4%, 4 out of 100. While only 6, remaining 6, will find faith following high school, which means only 6% of folks that get through high school, 6% of folks after high school make a turn to God. Okay? Now, that's about 15-year-old data, but the data then is probably better than the data today, could I venture to say. So what does that mean to us? Oh, friends, How important is it to reach children with an education in the realities of life? How critically important it is. The risk factor of not reaching them in their childhood goes way up. The risk factor of them not ever learning, knowing Jesus, we say, about Jesus Christ and what he means to their life, not just here, but the forever life. Remember, this life is minuscule compared to the eternal life. This life is finite. This life on this planet will come to an end. You will die. Can I say that again? You will die, and you're going to have to deal with what happens after I die. I came to terms with that and wanted to figure that one out when I was about 20 years old. Started to recount the big philosophical questions of life. Why am I here? Where am I going? Where'd I come from? I wanted some answers that were credible, that I could truly believe in, that were reasonable. I didn't want to just believe something that didn't make sense. And so God calls us to worship him with all our mind, not just with all our strength, not just with all our heart, not just with all our soul, but he calls us with all our mind. He asks us to use our mind to reason with the word and the understanding of things as they exist and present themselves. And so, we got any kids here? Jesus says, bring the kids. I just want to bring kids up here for a minute. Yeah, I got some adult kids back here. That's right. Yes, right. There's a kid. There's really, in every one of us, there's a kid still living, isn't there? Yes, say, face it, we are. In fact, that's really kind of biblical. Come on up. Here's a kid. Woo! Jesus wants the little children to come to him. Now, I'm not Jesus, okay? But it's like, he does. And he wants us to witness that. He wants us to understand and see that and value that like he does. What does he say about that? Let me read again. Gee, hang out right here. You okay hanging out here? Yeah. Awesome, awesome. He's good. He's great. And what's your name?
Luke.
This is Luke, everybody. Say hi, Luke. Yeah, they're great, great people. Look what he said. He called the children to him, says, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. And he said this, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Wow. That's a big statement. What's the deal there? What's this kingdom of God culture that we get, we understand by the little children and observing their lives? And what's Jesus getting at? Well, Luke places this encounter following an encounter of a couple of adults. And I've put that at the bottom of your handout there. So follow along as I read that. This is the story that comes right before the story about bring the kids, okay? To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up on the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, would be a religious leader of the day, and the other a tax collector, considered very much a traitor to the Jews and a sinner. No one liked him. He was a bad guy. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, that this man, the one who is beating on his breast, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified, made righteous. And then he says this, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, friends, I look at verse 14 and verse 17, and most believe those to speak of the same thing. And like verse 14, after he finishes that, those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And then he says, for instance, and he shares a story about permit the kids, bring the kids to me. For such is the kingdom of God. It's like a little child. Now, I want to bring my, You're not going to let me hold her, are you?
No.
Grandma always gets scared. But that's fine. This is Leah. This is Leah Vina, my little granddaughter. She's 4 months old right now, yeah? And so say hi to Leah. She says hi, too. All I want you to know is here's this little infant, one of the words says, and then Jesus returns with a word. It talks about a little child like Luke here.
I got a new toy.
That is awesome, man. That is cool. Can I play with it later? Can I play with it later?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. He shares, too. Okay, so here, look at this now. You got this little infant, and you got a little child. And I just want you to know that Jesus is trying to compare them to the tax collector who humbled himself. Because Jesus is saying this little infant and this little child have nothing to show for themselves. They don't have, a virtue that they've mastered in their life. They haven't been tithing probably, right? You see what I mean? They haven't earned anything yet in their lives. In fact, they're totally dependent. Think about it. They're totally dependent. Or we might say really are humbled in that they have to depend on somebody else to take care of their lives. Jesus, yeah, she's getting, you want to get out of the sun. Luke's going to hang with me. So they're we could say, needy and helpless in that sense. They trust someone else for everything, for food, for clothing, for shelter, for bathing. They can't count on any achievements of their own, and to be proud of their own virtues. They sense and know their need, and Jesus points that out. It's a teaching moment. And he says that we need to understand that. As we are born again, as we become have to go into the kingdom as infants, we're totally helpless, totally dependent on the gift of God, on Him supplying us our life eternally. That's what I think Jesus is getting at here with us. He wants us to understand that our security eternally, it was entirely from Him. Nothing we can bring to the table. We can't say, I've given you $20 million, God, in my lifetime. No, that's not what gets you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is the gift of God, which is the very Son of God, Jesus, who died in our place. And so we can't count on any achievements or virtues, just like this tax collector realized. The Pharisee hadn't come to that understanding very well yet. And so Jesus said, this one, not that one, is justified before God. Luke, I want to say thank you, man. Can you give me five here and go back to your mama over here? You did good. Give him a hug. And so Jesus knew that a childlike heart is critical in order for a person to be able to receive the message of salvation and grace. And as we grow older, it's unfortunate, but sometimes we can become more resistant to the gospel. That's what the statistics tell us, by the way. We become more resistant to the gospel because we get more self-sufficient. Yeah. At least we feel we are. And so we don't want to let our hearts become hardened by pride. We want to look at the little children. We want to bring the little children. We want to remember what Jesus said about this is what the kingdom of God is like. These kids. And so as we see the kids a little bit, they'll be out playing with all the water games and everything. And some of you that have kids in your heart still out there doing it with them, we'll see, you will. And enjoying some of that. As we reach out in the Fun Fest and maybe have a couple, 2,000 or 3,000 people with tons of kids all over the place, there's something about the energy, the total dependence, the real humility that children bring us that Jesus wants us to see. He wants us to bring those kids. Jesus is all about, receiving us all as that kind of a kid, in a sense. And so we're going to take communion, remembering that it's only by the gift of God through Jesus Christ that, we can have our need met because we're totally dependent upon Jesus getting us into the life beyond. And oh, how much God wants us to live forever. Oh God, hear from our hearts today. Thankful that we get the opportunity, the privilege to know Jesus more. Better perhaps even today. Thank you for the little children that he pointed out that we can even look at today and marvel at their dependent humility for how they can live in this life. The kingdom is like that. We're totally dependent on you, Jesus, in what you did for us on the cross. Thank you again this day, this Sunday, out here in this place as we take communion. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have some communion that either we can pass around, how are we going to handle communion, or you can come up and get it. I'm going to ask the band to come back and have a final song for us if they'd be willing to do that. Oh, don't you appreciate the band today coming out here and woo, rocking us out in the park. If those of you that are newer with us, so thankful that you're here. I hope I get a chance to meet you. Before you go, we've got some food that's going to happen after this final song. There's some chicken and some other food that you've all brought and pitched in on. So I want to just invite you to be part of that. You want to say some more? Excellent. So we're going to collect the communication cards or the connection cards. We always like to do that every Sunday. Thank you for being willing to turn those in. And so there will be some branch buckets, I think, going around, our little branch green planter pots. So feel free to do that. Have communion. You don't have to. It's available to anybody that would like to have communion out in this setting now. And so we're going to do that. Oh, God, we receive, God, your blessing upon us again this day. Thank you for the sustenance of life that comes through Jesus. Thank you for the promise of a life beyond, which comes through Jesus. Thank you for helping us understand the reality of kingdom, the total dependence and humility that, God, we can live with, knowing you. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Help yourself to communion and worship.
You speak, stronghold surrender. your name overcomes the enemy. In you, we are more than conquerors. Your word stands through the ages. Your voice shatters the darkness. In you, we are more than conquerors. You speak, strongholds surrender. Your name overcomes the enemy. In you, we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Yes, amen, amen. All right, hey, well, the food is getting set out, and so we are going to go ahead and get ready to eat. We're going to start the water games. There'll be an announcement at that time to when we're going to unleash all of this fun out here. I just want to say thank you again for being here. We're glad you're here to join us. I'm excited to eat. We're going to collect the connection cards at this time. We have some green planter pots in the back that are around. That's a great place to drop them and make sure those connection cards get turned in. Here's what I'm going to do real quick before we dive in. I'm going to go ahead and pray over our food, over our meal, and over just our fun this afternoon as everything gets set up and gets going. So let me pray for us real quick for the food, and then we have two lines over here. Go ahead and grab a plate and dive in. So let's pray real quick over our food. Father in heaven, just thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together. Just please bless this food. Help it nourish our body. Help us just to enjoy just your weather and just this time together. Please help the food nourish our body. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and go dig in.